Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Coming up at 11 o'clock, live coverage of a major policy address by President-elect Barack Obama. We have seen some advanced text, and he will be trying to convince us, even before the inauguration, to back nearly $1 trillion of a stimulus bill. How about a bailout for the MTA while they're at it? We will hear from the president-elect in an hour, but this is a crucial time for mass transit in New York, as it seems to be a crucial time for everything with the financial crisis. One of the decisions that the state legislature must make by April 1st is whether to accept the Ravitch Commission recommendations, including a new payroll tax for businesses in the MTA service area. Without it, says the transit authority, there will be draconian fare hikes and service cuts. And if the state imposes new tolls on the East River and Harlem River bridges, the MTA says it could also expand express bus service. Tough choices for tough times. The head of the MTA, Elliot Sander, has agreed to join us every Thursday for the month of January to talk to us and take your questions and comments about transit in New York. Today, we will focus mostly on those fare and service decisions and on the greening of the MTA. A new report is coming out today. Next week, more on how the MTA is run, plus other topics on the rest of the Thursdays this month. Lee Sander, President and CEO of the MTA, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian. Good to be here.
And listeners, our phones are open, 212-433-WNYC. On the fare hikes, service cuts, or the greening of the MTA. And our webpage is still open, one click away at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. How responsive has the legislature been, Lee Sander, to the payroll tax idea? The payroll tax would make the fare hikes and service cuts less draconian, you've said. Does it look like you'll get that tax and avoid the worst of the service cuts and fare hikes?
I would say that I'm, pretty optimistic based on the conversations I've had with the state legislature, with the Assembly and the state senators. I saw a lot of them yesterday at the State of the State speech. I think that, while I don't think they would like to do the payroll tax, I don't think any politician wants to do any kind of tax. That's understandable. I think that there's a receptivity to it. I also think it's been helpful that Kathy Wild, the head of the partnership for New York, has also been supportive as long as it's part of the package. But
she's a major business leader, so if she comes out for a tax on businesses, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal, and I really appreciate the fact that Kathy has done that. I think it's the right thing to do for the business community, which is why Dick Ravitch, who was a very important part of the business community, and I also spent 10 years in the private sector before coming back to the MTA. I mean, recognize that New York cannot be the commercial center for business if we don't have a functioning transit system. So in terms of the payroll tax, that is the less difficult lift than the other piece of the funding recommendations we did. So, pretty much, a positive reaction to that.
Well, that's encouraging because the payroll tax would be 1/3 of 1%, or a $33 tax on employers for every $10,000 of payroll, if I've crunched the numbers right. Can you summarize briefly, really briefly, the real differences in fares and MTA service with and without the tax as the MTA has laid it out?
Yeah, and again, let me restate, it's always easy to do taxes, and we're cognizant of how competitive New York needs to be. So I don't want to be, take the position that, we want to just, raise taxes willy-nilly. A payroll tax is painful and will be painful, but again, it's a better alternative than having the MTA collapse. In terms of what happens if the Ravitch recommendations get implemented, and it's not just the payroll tax, but it's also bridge and tunnel tolls or fares, or if the legislature decided to come up with other funds to substitute for that piece, instead of having fare and toll increases that would be in the range of 25-30% in terms of the impact on the consumer, we talk about a yield of about 23%, but then net effect in terms of what our customers would pay is between 25-30%. If we are able to get the legislature to come to the rescue, then we would reduce that increase to about 8%. And so, you know, we're doing the hearings beginning next week to get feedback from the public in terms of how we might apply an 8% increase as compared to the 25-3% increase if we don't get help from the legislature. And we have one variation where you just kind of apply, 8% across the board. And then we have one where we take away the bonus and, we just, have different variations. We're looking forward to the feedback from the public about how they recommend if we're forced to be in a position of either applying the 8% if we get help from the legislature or 23% if we don't. And again, the legislature could give us sufficient funds to not do the 8%, but I think that that's less likely given the other needs that education, health, and other sectors have on the legislature.
I was joking before about how about an Obama MTA bailout when he gives his economics address next hour. But, Richard Ravitch, who wrote the Ravitch Report on future funding of the MTA, was on the show recently. And listen to what he said about the president-elect and the MTA.
I think the genius of the president-elect's plan is that money is going to go to projects that are ready to go. And the MTA has many that are ready to go.
You have what they're calling shovel-ready projects for the president-elect and Congress to fund?
We do indeed. We are ready to go. I have a list of $3 billion worth of projects. I met with all my agency heads, and we've had very intense staff meetings below my level, making sure we're ready to go. We would be able to benefit from the stimulus package. There's discussion about doing basically $12 billion for transit as part of this massive infrastructure program. Generally, New York gets about 15%. We hope that we might be able to do a little better than that if that occurs, but there certainly is the prospect of getting somewhere between $1.5 to $3, $4, or $5 billion. Again, one has to keep in mind, our needs are vast given the size of our program, and we need a capital program in the range of $30 billion over a five-year period. But certainly getting, $5 billion would certainly be very, very helpful. And, we need it if we're going to keep our core program functioning the way it has, delivering record performance, and also to complete East Side Access and the first piece of Second Avenue.
Rick in Rockland County, you're on WNYC with Lee Sander, head of the MTA. Hello.
Hello, sir. Yeah, this is Nick from Rockland County. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, if mass transit is indeed more efficient than private vehicles for transportation, and it's to be part of a pollution prevention solution for a metropolis, why is it not self-sufficient economically? Why does it have to rely on taxes and can't be run more like a private business?
Well, if the legislature allowed me to go private and run for a profit, we could. But that's not the nature of public transportation.
You could? Wait a minute. You could?
Well, what would occur is that you just would not operate your least profitable routes. And, if you just restricted service to Manhattan, and if you look at how much money we make on Manhattan routes during the day, so to speak, you probably do less express routes because what we call our fare box recovery ratio on express routes is minimal. So theoretically, you could, but New York would look completely different. New York, including Rockland County, if I may say, and the whole metropolitan area looks different because of the kind of public transportation system we have. 24 hours a day, 24 hours, 7 days a week, for vast parts of the region, it would just look a whole lot. And in terms of our regional competitiveness, would not be a good thing to do. Transit does not make a profit anywhere in the United States. We do, in fact, make the most money, relatively speaking, to all other transit properties in the country. But nonetheless, just the nature of the service that we provide, the hours that we provide, requires a subsubsidy. There are few places in the world that don't have a subsidy for transit.
You mentioned the express buses and how they're not profitable. And the East River Bridge Tolls proposal, as I understand it, would not be relevant to the fare hike or service cuts. I don't think a lot of people understand that. According to the Ravitch Commission, which is now your proposal, you would dedicate the entirety of the revenue from East River Bridge tolls and Harlem River Bridge tolls to expansion of express bus service in the boroughs or from the boroughs to Manhattan. Do I have that right?
Pretty much. I mean, it would support more than the bus service. It also would support, you know, the broader capital program. But what Dick did, and I served on the commission with Dick, worked very closely with him. I think he did an extraordinary job. What Dick did was take basically the proposals that we had for better bus service that came up during the congestion pricing conversation. We also had there'd been a previous proposal to have more of a regional bus orientation, and what we tried to do with the commission is have a revenue source that will allow us to provide the kind of bus service that we need, which would allow us to have more bus service, express bus service into Manhattan. We have a horrible situation in Nassau County with Long Island Bus, where the county, with its fiscal problems, has kind of walked away, capped its contribution. And so what the Ravitch Commission does is talk about having a regional bus system that would really provide better support, better service. Nassau County, help Westchester County, some of the other counties, and more bus service in New York. We tie that to the East River tolls. Mm-hmm. We've done some strong management things at the end. We've done a lot of them. One of the things I did was I did eliminate three separate bus companies, so I have one bus operation managing our bus operations now. But this would give us the money to not have the draconian increases that we would have to apply in Nassau County, which would probably be the hardest hit of anybody with what we're talking about here.
But again, the fare hikes and service cuts in the New York City bus and subway system would not be affected by whether or not East River Bridge tolls are passed if the payroll tax is passed, correct?
The point we try to make is the whole package. And so if the East River tolls are implemented as part of this program, and it's an essential part of it, then the fare and toll increases will be kept to 8%.
Everett. In East New York, you're on WNYC with the head of the MTA, Lee Sander, who is joining us every Thursday this month. Hi, Everett.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, first of all. Two things I want to ask. Why in Brooklyn, there's a lot of people traveling to Manhattan and Harlem and those places, and they don't go about giving those subways a facelift? And the second question is that I want to know, how much money the MTA make for the year? I'll listen off air.
Okay. Well, it's a not-for-profit organization, so it doesn't make any money. But how else would you answer that question?
Well, too, I think if I heard correctly, you said about facelift. You know, the system is a 100-year-old system. We've had decent capital programs to try and improve the system as much as we could. We've done a lot of improvement, not as much as we'd like. There's still, you know, stations that we haven't gotten to. And so Everett's correct to say that we certainly could use, you know, more improvement in terms of our stations. Our rolling stock, you know, we've done some pretty good work, and we're retiring the older rolling stock and getting new ones. But he's right. But, you know, the point of the Ravitch Commission is if we don't get, you know, the roughly $30 billion that we need, it's going to look worse than it looks now. So Everett's right. You know, it's a system that is probably has an asset value of about $1 trillion.
But he was really asking about selective maintenance of trains. He feels that in his area, and he lives in East New York, that there's not the high priority on overhauling the trains themselves, that there might be in other neighborhoods.
No, I think that I know that in terms of the distribution of the equipment, it's done basically on age, and basically every neighborhood is treated evenly in terms of the age of the equipment and so forth. There's a higher priority to stations that have greater usage, and but in terms of throughout the boroughs and so forth, I have not seen any inequities there. And then asking to the second part of this question, which is how much money we make. We roughly have about a $10.7 billion operating budget, and we get about $3-4 billion from bus and subway fares and about $1 billion and change from bridge and tunnel revenue. So, again, it's about half.
From our comments page, let's go through a few questions quick. We've been collecting questions all week from people posting to our comments page. We've got dozens of them up there. I know we've got about 5 minutes left. We've done a few of these questions already, plus a few phone calls. Let's go through some quick questions, quick answers if you can, and then I know you want to get to the greening of the MTA proposal that you're releasing this afternoon. Question from the comments page. Why is the C train one car shorter than the rest of the IND line? During rush hour, it's so crowded that it seems that extra car would help. And certainly I know anybody who waits for an A or a C, the A Express or the C Local on the same platform, notices that that C train is shorter than the A. Why is that on a crowded line?
Don't have the answer on the C train, but Brian, what we'll try and do is get an answer that you can put back on the website.
We'll do that.
And I take the C train occasionally, and I've noticed that too. But we'll get you an answer. We'll get you an answer for that. There are issues okay. like on the G train where we have a limited amount of rolling stock and trying to meet the kind of schedule that we have. But for the C, don't know. I'm not sure if that's the answer. Is for the G train.
All right. Here's a question on the balance between service cuts and fare hikes. To the extent that you have to do either. And it says every year or two, the MTA terrorizes us with the threats of increased fares and decreased service. Of course, I'm not excited about an increased fare, but please take decreased service off the table. It's in no one's interest. Decreasing transit service is so retrograde that it shouldn't even be considered, this person writes. Mass transit is only viable if it is frequent and dependable. What do you say to that listener?
Oh, I think it's a great question. We had a very intense dialogue with our board members about if we do not get Ravitch, essentially the budget that I presented, had to present in November, was dead in December, where do you draw the line? Do you just increase fares or do you do it 50-50, which is basically how we did it if we don't get the assistance from Albany? I understand and appreciate what the questioner is saying. On the other hand, the reality is we serve a lot of lower-income folks for whom this kind of a hit, if we just put it all on the fare, would be unbelievably painful. I had someone at a reception in the governor's office, the governor's mansion yesterday, made the same point. Why don't we charge, $250? Not a member of the governor's staff, by the way, just an individual I happen to run into. I think for folks who are not of lower income or involved, there sometimes is a lack of sensitivity to, what these fare increases mean. But we serve our entire community, and I think we have to strike a balance. That's what we tried to do with what we put out in our doomsday budget, which is what, well, unfortunately, we'd have to do if we don't get Ravitch.
And if there are service cuts from Iska from the East Village, she says, save the M8 bus. It's the only crosstown mass transit available in the village. It serves students and teachers at many schools, serves the elderly and mobility challenged, connects lower-income and underserved areas to the rest of the community as well as to other transportation. Is eliminating the M8 on the table?
Sadly, it is. I mean, this whole conversation just reinforces how critical a service we provide to New Yorkers. It is, because if we don't get the money, if we don't get the assistance, as we've called for, from Ravitch, we have no choice. We have to have a balanced budget. But I used to have responsibility for the M8 when I was general manager of the Manhattan Bus System in the early 80s. Love the M8. There are a number of other buses we have, on the cutting block. We don't want to do them. My daughter actually takes one of the ones that we would hit. I've heard it from her. We don't want to do this, and it's not good public policy. And unfortunately, we have
why,
to try.
Why that one, then? How'd you come to that conclusion that you would eliminate the M8?
Again, it's based on what alternatives individuals have and ridership. A bunch of criteria that our very professional operations planning group, headed by Peter Caffiero at New York City Transit, with the oversight of Howard Roberts, came up with. And our board has looked at this closely. You had Doreen Frasca on your program a couple of weeks ago, they all poured through the criteria, the detail. In terms of how we selected these routes.
We're almost out of time with the head of the MTA, Lee Sander, who's going to join us every Thursday this month to talk about mass transit in the New York area. And later today, you're unveiling a major report on the greening of the MTA, and you've agreed to give us a short advance look. There is some pretty ambitious stuff in here, like getting 80% of MTA energy from renewable sources by 2050 and viewing carbon avoidance as a revenue source rather than an expense. There's also the obvious argument that mass transit itself is a greening tool because it replaces cars and encourages smart development clustered around train stations. Can you tell us about the idea of carbon avoidance as a revenue source? Do I get that right?
Yeah, you got that right. I mean, I think in terms of the details of how that market works, I think Ernest Tollison, who has led this effort as our head of policy, probably more conversant in terms of how these markets are developing and so forth. But, you know, sustainability is one of my seven priorities I've talked about. An extraordinary commission with the best and brightest in this area. And the carbon avoidance is one piece. We have a number of other very important parts of the report, which we're going to be putting out today. And I think there's a feeling that, you know, this market will develop as we come to grips with the issue of global warming. That's probably, you know, one of the, in terms of the carbon market, that's perhaps, if you will, one of the more softer recommendations, although the thing was real, but there's real hard stuff in there that's very tangible.
You want to just mention, and I know you got to go, you want to just mention one or two of what you think are the most important pieces?
I mean, we're talking about, you know, working on developing new technologies with our manufacturers so we can consume less energy. The third rail that we use to have aluminum, so that takes less energy. We use a lot of water to clean our equipment and to pump, you know, have pumping stations throughout the subway system. We're committed to reducing the amount of water that we use, pushing transit-oriented development. It's about 100 recommendations, and we're very excited. Now, what's great is actually I did not have to push very hard from on top. All the agencies, the technical folks, the engineers, the operations folks, and subways, buses, commuter rail, bridges and tunnels have all really embraced it. There's a recognition amongst the entire MTA workforce that sustainability is something that has to be part of our mantra.
Lee Sander, the president and CEO of the MTA. He is kind enough to be joining us every Thursday in the month of January. Next week we'll talk more about how the MTA is run, then the future of the mass transit system. We'll take lots of your calls and comments on our website. You can keep posting all week to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Lee Sander, thanks again. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, the stock market is down again today on news that major retailers are having problems. Some people are predicting a retail collapse in this country now that the Christmas season has ended. And the recession is so bad. We'll get a forecast on retail and then talk about what it might mean, what it should mean for workers in the retail sector. Stay with us.